Hi, everybody. Welcome to Stutter Talk. This is Joel opening up with some voluntary stuttering. Well, I think I usually do voluntary stuttering at the beginning of the shows, but I don't mention it. Anyway, this is Stutter Talk episode 428 for November 9th, 2013. And I'm with regular co-hosts, Karen Herring.
Hey, everyone.
And Roisin McManus.
Hi, guys.
And today, we are not exactly sure what we were going to talk about, but...
Wait, before we do that, though, I have a question for you right off the bat, Joel, based on what you just said.
Sure.
Do you often advertise to people that you're voluntary stuttering?
No. And, actually, okay, I'm going to answer that, but first I want to ask you guys a short question. When you're bringing in the show, I feel like... You know, that first hello, everyone, is usually stuttered. Is that usually a legitimate stutter for you guys or a voluntary stutter? Or do you not stutter on it?
I think I usually stutter when I'm bringing the show. Like, it feels like a tense time. And,
Oh, really?
Well, not like a tense time, but I'm like, here we go, I'm starting. And it just, like, feels like... I just have to, like, stutter through it. And it's always real.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like when I'm talking to you guys on Stutter Talk, I don't think as much as I do throughout the day about voluntary stuttering.
Okay.
I mean, I think I still do it sometimes because I think I'm doing it sometimes not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not... on my mind as much as it would be in like a different kind of situation.
Yeah. I think now that I'm giving therapy to people a lot, it's on my mind more. But getting back to your original question, do I tell people that I'm voluntary stuttering? It's interesting because when I first started to do it a lot, I felt the really strong need to tell people, like, that's not real, you know? Like, it almost, like, was a pride thing. Because, you know, you just, like, hold on to your fluent speech so much. It feels so important at certain times in your life that if you're voluntarily giving it up, it feels like such a sacrifice that, yeah. I felt like I really needed to tell people that, you know, hey, you know, I'm not really stuttering there, you know?
Right.
But it was interesting. On Saturday, I had a client and I was doing a lot of voluntary stuttering. And then I was explaining it to him some more, and then we were doing some reading and practicing it. And I was telling him that for me, it's a tool or a strategy that it's probably my favorite, way to change my speech, for managing my stuttering. He's like, yeah, I can tell when you were just reading that you were a lot more fluent. And I was thinking, you know, it was our first session, and like I kind of felt that urge. Like I wanted to tell him half of my stuttering, maybe more, has been voluntary, you know? but I'm like, yeah, I don't need to do that. I don't know. I don't know. Actually, after the session, I kind of went back and forth. I was like, what? I don't know. I guess I just don't feel the need to tell people whether or not my stuttering is legitimate.
Yeah. I think I also feel the reverse need too, though. But sometimes a client or a parent of a client will comment on how I'm not stuttering that much.
Oh, okay.
And then I feel the need to stutter more and pretend that they're real.
Oh, so that's like, what's that called?
I don't know.
I think I know what you mean. I don't know. Yeah, huh. It's like pretend volunteer, or I don't know. No, it's something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like struggle voluntary stuttering.
Although I would say that for this show, although I to do voluntary stuttering on the show, mostly, I guess the headspace that I'm in when I come and talk to you guys is I don't really want to think about strategies. I just want to talk and stutter authentically.
Yeah. You
know? Unless I know there's been shows where I'm like, hey guys, like I feel like I've been really struggling with my stuttering and I want to take this opportunity to practice a little bit.
Right.
So then, you know, there'll be those times as well. But I think for the most part on the show, my stuttering is relatively authentic.
So why do you think you wanted to let everyone know that your voluntary stutters were fake?
At the beginning of this show?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll tell you why. Because I was listening to one of Peter's episodes, I think it was like 3 days ago. And, you know, he always says at the beginning, you know, doing some good voluntary stuttering at the beginning of the show. And it kind of got me thinking that what if it was one of the first shows you'd ever heard and you had no idea about the concept of voluntary stuttering? Like right away, you're like, wait, what? What was that all about? He was stuttering on purpose and it might sort of like pique some interest in a way.
Yeah.
Bean should just be on the B team. Bean is Karen's dog.
He's doing such a weird thing right now. He's literally, like, I have a rug on my floor, and he's running from side to side.
Oh.
Like, they do this thing in gym class when I was younger, where you had to, like, run to the side, touch the floor, and then run back and touch the floor. Oh, did you have to do those?
Yeah, we call them killers in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. So cool.
In Providence, we call them
suicides.
Oh, that's so really? Weird.
Killers and suicides.
Hot dish and casserole.
I think he's done now. He's now laying on the rug, like passed out.
Okay, he worked himself up into a frenzy. Anytime we start talking about him, though, it seems like he really ramps it up.
Yeah.
He's not wearing headphones and a mic, is he?
Yeah, he has his chair right next to mine.
Bean totally stutters when he barks.
Oh, that's funny.
What were we talking about? Oh.
Voluntary stuttering.
Yeah.
People being hooked into the show because you're confused what it is.
That's actually a good idea. And to be honest, forgive me, Peter, but when I hear Peter like doing that, I've never thought about it in that way, Joel.
Okay.
I've always been like, I don't understand why Peter tells people he's doing that. Like, I don't know if it's because like he doesn't want them to think he's actually stuttering, even though, you know, I should expect way more from him, but I didn't really understand. But that's a good point that people will hear that and like Google it or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably – maybe Peter can respond on his next show. But I think that's – I would think that's why, because, you know, that's one thing I worry about when we're doing our shows, because we'll just like tap into this lingo sometimes, like voluntary stuttering or, you know, advertising or this and that. And I think, man, what if someone – this is their first show, and they're just thinking, like, what is wrong with these people? Like, what are they talking about?
Mm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, I'm, you know, I'm, that's got to happen. That's got to happen, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
can we sum up what it is?
Okay, Karen, go. You're the certified speech pathologist of the group.
You're a speech pathologist too. Yeah. Too now, Joel.
But I'm in my clinical fellowship years, plural.
Whatever.
Okay.
I mean, the idea of it sounds just like it is. You're voluntarily stuttering. So you're stuttering on purpose. And I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. I more often do it so it's not, it doesn't like sound like my real ones, and it's easier than my real ones. So I don't like voluntarily get really, really stuck. I just like voluntarily will like bounce on a sound or like repeat a sound.
Is that your preferred flavor?
That's my preferred. I think back in the day, I preferred to voluntarily block just to sort of like desensitize myself to what it feels like to block.
Sure.
And see what the reactions were to when I like stutter really hard. But now I'm not really testing the waters. I'm doing it really just to make it easier to talk.
I see. I think, you know, there's different flavors for different purposes. You know, let's just face, for example, you're working on eye contact. It's, in my experience, and maybe your guys', it's a lot easier to work on eye contact when you're stuttering on purpose, at least to start, rather than, you know, just trying to hold it, even though that's useful too. And I think if you're stuttering on purpose is similar to your real legitimate stuttering, then it, you know, you're kind of like training yourself to feel okay with that type of tension and that type of struggle and still maintain eye contact.
Yeah. You know? Did you just make up the name flavor of voluntary stuttering?
I've thought about it like that in my head, but I don't think that I've ever said it out loud.
I think it's great.
Okay.
I feel like it'd be such a cool name for like a work, for like a workshop. Like to talk about like what's your flavor. Mm-hmm. Like figure like going
around. It sounds like sexual in a way. I don't know if that's a workshop. What's your flavor? It's like, it's kind of weird.
but sometimes that I think that there are a lot of flavors but you well, know, sometimes I'll read something on voluntary
sorry
yeah. And now I feel like I can't say it.
You really can't now. Thanks
types
a lot.
Different types of voluntary stuttering
that doesn't sound as cool.
Roisin, how do you feel about voluntary stuttering?
I feel like I don't really use it. And when I have, it feels cool and it feels like, and it feels like, you know, something new and it sort of like shakes everything up. But I just don't really remember to do it just because I feel like when I'm in situations where I would use voluntary stuttering, like where it's a little bit harder for me, or I feel like I want to show people that I stutter. I end up just kind of focusing on like stuttering confidently because I'm already stuttering a lot.
Nice.
And I totally understand that there is like a point to like sort of flipping that on its head and, you know, voluntary stuttering in those situations, but I always just forget.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you, Roisin. This is another term that we throw around sometimes, but when you're saying just confidently stuttering, is that, I would assume that stuttering is pretty quote unquote clean. Is that, would that be an accurate assumption? As far as like, yeah. You know, you're not switching words and changing phrasing and things like that to try to get around certain stutters.
Yeah. I would say that, like, technically it's clean in this sense that I'm not doing, like you're saying, any secondary behaviors to compensate for the stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that sometimes if I'm having a hard time, when I think about clean stuttering, for me, because I've never really had secondaries, I definitely word switched, but I haven't really had the physical secondary behaviors. I always think about, like, there's a difference between, like, looking at someone and stuttering and remaining clear about the message I'm trying to like send and like saying that message cleanly in my mind. And like, I'm speaking to this person to like get this communication across. And then there are times when I'm stuttering and I'm sure it looks clean, but in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm stuttering. Oh my God.
Okay.
And it just like feels like I'm all over the place.
So it's like it kind of goes back to the iceberg analogy of stuttering, but in a mental sense, like it might look physical, overt, clean stuttering, but it's it doesn't feel mentally clean because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's not like, do you ever use different strategies or techniques to like change the way the stutters like sound or feel, or like reduce the tension or things like that? Or it's really mainly about making sure that your communication is still there?
I mostly focus on the communication aspect of it. And I feel, I mean, there are times when I'm like, when I was saying, like in my mind, I'm really not present for that conversation because I'm thinking about stuttering. I can sort of like reel that in and then like slow down and like pull out of things.
Right. Easier. So you are kind of doing those things. You just don't really think about them.
No, I do them sometimes in the moment, but I rarely walk into a situation thinking like I'm going to, you know, try something physically different here.
Right.
I just feel like when I do that, it's almost like I don't have time to do that. I mean, that's not true, but it just feels like it would be hard for me to really focus on what I'm saying. That sounds like at this point cliche, but
I don't know. I feel like one thing whenever we're talking about this subject, it reminds me of times where. Okay, so there's been probably the vast majority of my stuttering career, I haven't really like purposefully used strategies to manage my stuttering, and it's interesting because there's sometimes, like especially if after I've gone to therapy, where if someone asked me like, you know, like, hey Roisin, like, well, you know, do you modify or change your stuttering, you know, when you're struggling? Or I shouldn't say Roisin, I should say, hey Joel. even if I'm like, really, if I think about it and analyze it, I might not be. I might like want to say, oh yeah, like I do voluntary stuttering, or you know, I do this or that. And I really try not to do that. But like one thing I really appreciate about you, Roisin, is I feel like anytime like that question is alluded to you, or like you're answering, you always give like a spot on, honest response. You know, you don't feel like, yeah, this is, you know, this is what I do. This is what I'm doing, you know? Mm. Where I think that, I think I do too. I'm not saying I don't, but I think maybe I've lied sometimes.
I mean, there's like certainly times that I've, and I mean, like with you guys, it's a lot easier for me to be honest. There are definitely with like certain people that don't know anything about stuttering who will ask me like, well, have you ever like learned some techniques?
And oh, like, yep.
Long story short, I have, and I use them sometimes. I fear that if I say, I don't really use any techniques and I'm not really working on, you know, stuttering less, that people will really judge me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I definitely know where you're coming from, that can be a hard thing. But yeah, I mean, I just don't. Yeah. Thank you, Joel, for saying that.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it. There's a lot of parallels with what you just said with my own life. I'm having this really weird thing happen to me right now that I'm doing, or, you know, I have like 5 clients, whereas like I really wasn't planning, or I didn't feel like I needed to make changes in my speech or work on strategies, but like I'm forced to. So like, mm-hmm. Like, you know, I see clients on Monday evenings and like, I just can't, I have to practice stuff because like I'm working on, you know, talking about stuttering and being open on stuttering, but like we're exploring different ways to change speech and, you know, different ways to try to make stuttering easier and stutter less. And like, I'm naturally throughout the course of the sessions, like, working on things. So then it's so weird because like, I gotta be honest, like I'm a horrible client. Like I haven't had, you know, real therapy for a while, but like, I never like take the time to do things. So it's weird to me now to like notice that extra attention is like, it's just been, I feel like it's been kind of dramatic for me just like being forced to talk about stuttering and work on strategies one time a week for like 4 hours is I mean, it's kind of wild. I feel like it's been like dramatically therapeutic for me, but I am not like trying because it's just like, that's the reality of my life right now.
That's really interesting, actually. And I feel like I've encountered, I definitely want to hear your perspective on it too, but I've noticed that with a couple of my friends who become SLPs, that like when they become SLPs, I hear them talking more about using techniques and it's in a very healthy way in terms of like a very balanced, like, yeah, like, you know, like pullouts and prolongations. I'm like, you're using that now? I'm like, I do it all the time. it's interesting.
Well, it's, I think part of it, and this is, you know, this is all very new for me. I've just started like 6 weeks ago, but I don't know. I've been very critical of some therapy I've gotten in my life. And it's been quite a shock to me to think about therapy now that like I'm in charge. And I'm like, wow, like, it's actually kind of hard. Like, you have to like, well, like, I have a whole hour, you know, with this, you know, 16-year-old, and like, what are we going to do? You know, and like, you know, you know, think about, well, where do we want to go? Like, where, like, what does he want in his life that he doesn't have right now? And how can we get there? And then, you know, there's lots of different ways to work towards that, but lots of times that involves, you know, changing your speech and changing your stuttering, turns out. And so then it's, you know, you own, there's only so many things that you can work on in therapy, you know, and it really depends on the person, you know, like there might be someone that really just needs to work through talking about stuttering and being open about stuttering and, you know, putting it out there and things like that. And I think for me, when I was making a lot of changes, like that was something that was really important. But then, you know, you also have someone who you'll say, you know, how was this week? Like what happened? You know, how was that one situation that is, you know, notoriously sort of difficult for you? And then they'll just say, oh, it was fine. You know, and then you'll keep asking probing questions, but you know, it's like after you do that for 10 minutes, you know, there's still 50 minutes left.
That's so beach tools as a means to fill time. That's well, plain.
Okay. I think I'm cutting myself a little bit short on that when just describing it like that, but
I mean, but it makes sense that like that in therapy, people have to become familiar and like comfortable with their stuttering and like, you know, and like play with it and like manipulate it and then like gain some sense of, if not control over it, like at least quality with it, where we're like, it's not, you know, bigger than them. And so a huge part of that is like physically doing stuff to feel comfortable.
This is David Seidler. I'm a stutterer, and this is Stutter Talk.
This is David Mitchell. I'm the author of the book Black Queen and a patron of the British Standards Association, and you are listening to Stutter Talk.
Well, yeah, and I think that something that gets lost a lot, and for me, is the desensitizing yourself to different strategies or changing your speech, because I don't know. I think it's like almost equally as difficult. Well, maybe not. Yeah, I think it is. If you're, you know, if you're first just openly stuttering, but then also if you're first openly like modifying your stuttering with strategies, like that's, I think that can be equally as weird. So if you don't try it out in safer environments like therapy, and then, you know, maybe the next time, try it with your best friend, then of course it's never going to work in a tough situation because you're totally uncomfortable with the idea, you know, and it's weird, you know? So it's like how, it's a weird way to talk, just like stuttering.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I always think like the hardest part is almost desensitizing yourself to the struggle.
Yeah.
I feel like the tools and techniques and changing your stuttering, like, I think it takes some time to desensitize yourself to it. But I think at some point it feels more comfortable. And I don't know if struggling ever gets to be more comfortable.
Hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's definitely a part of it. And I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it's possible to 100% have struggle-free stuttering. For me, at least, I think it will always be uncomfortable to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah, I get, well, I could kind of equate the struggle with loss of control, too. Like, it's never fun. Or it's never comfortable to, like, you know, lose control. If you're riding your bike and you fall Like, you never, like, get used to that.
And no matter how much you're using different speaking tools or techniques, you're still going to experience that loss of control sometimes.
Yeah. Hmm. I guess maybe if you practice falling. Well, yeah, the people do the, like, doesn't Scott Yarris like involuntary stuttering to, like, practicing falling when you're skiing? I don't know if it was him. I'm sorry. Somebody said that at some point. And yeah, I guess if you practice falling when you're skiing like 100 times, like you must get a little better at it.
Yeah. And I feel like you get better at bouncing back faster. Like, it's not really sure. about me making the fall worse or the stuttering, the struggle less. Cause I agree that there's a certain amount of like instinctual, like, I can't get my words out.
Yeah.
But like that, like you can feel like held and like bounce back afterwards.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yeah, because it's not as traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, people got to go to work, don't they?
Yeah, I got to go to work.
Okay.
Just clients to see.
Yeah, there are clients to see.
You get free personal speech therapy all day. You better not stutter by the next time you come back, B team.
Wow,
40 hours of speech therapy a week.
I mean, that's a little true.
You do speech therapy all day too. You just have to like voluntarily just stutter all day.
No, it's not the same.
Someone should do a study on the therapeutic benefits of providing therapy to people.
I don't know how you would do it, though.
I don't know either.
That's a really interesting question, Joel, but not just for stuttering, for like everything.
Yeah.
You know, for psychologists and...
You're right. There's got to be something out there.
I smell a PhD, Joel.
Yeah. I don't like that stuff. I don't like writing.
That's a dissertation.
Yeah. Well, writing and thinking and doing things.
That doesn't seem true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.